Welcome to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network, a show that streams health, happiness, and hope to the kidney community. You can download all Kidney Talk shows from iTunes and find a variety of resources to help you navigate this illness at rsnhope.org. Please welcome your host, Lori Hartwell, who has lived with kidney disease since the age of 2.
Well, welcome to Kidney Talk. Today, we're going to be talking about, you know, one of my favorite subjects, which is food. Everybody loves food, and it can be quite challenging when you're on a renal diet. So I'm very happy that we have Judy Bado, who's a renal dietitian, and we thought it would be fun to talk about what she might make for the weekend if she's our personal chef. So welcome to the show, Judy.
Well, thank you so much. I have my chef coat on and my chef hat, and I'm ready to start this adventure with you, Lori.
Well, that just sounds great. So you know, we're coming to this great resort up in Washington where you live, and you're going to make us breakfast, and, you know, it needs to be renal friendly. So why don't we start out with Saturday, and why don't you tell me what you make us for breakfast?
So my background is really learning to cook from a very young age. I thought you'd tell a little bit about my background so people understand why I'm so passionate about food. I grew up with a great-grandmother who I basically cooked on the side of from the time I could stand on the stool. So I really enjoy the spontaneity of figuring out a menu based on what's available or possibly a theme in your head of where that would be. To me, Saturday and Sunday means a time when maybe you're going to have a little bit more time to cook than maybe during the week. But of course, if it interferes with your treatment, then you have to kind of think as well. So either day that we're talking about, I hope that you can consider flipping one versus the other. And I have two big favorites for breakfast. One would be something that had a protein in it, like an egg component, or something that would be more cereal related. So for our first Saturday breakfast, I would be looking for the egg component. And I think eggs are really versatile. People, I think, can make an egg pretty easily. The question is if you want to challenge yourself to actually poach an egg or if you actually want to just scramble an egg. What I would recommend is if you're first starting out, is consider scrambling an egg, but do it in the French way. So we're going to think if we're in a spa, maybe they would do something a little bit more exciting. So when you're scrambling your eggs, you're going to put those eggs in a pan, and then you're going to use a fork and continue to keep scrambling them while they cook. This will give it more of a little exotic feature, and basically your eggs will come out evenly scrambled as opposed to perhaps unevenly scrambled. They still should be cooked all the way, but they're going to look more even in texture, and that will add some excitement with your mouthfeel. How does that sound to start out with your breakfast with maybe a piece of toast?
That sounds good. I love eggs. And I also discovered a little tip too. If you take the eggs out and make them room temperature, that's like a big secret to help any egg cook properly. I had no idea. Just put it in the bowl like 30 minutes, like, and let it just kind of, it's amazing. Even when you bake, it makes everything better. Or maybe it's just me. Do you recommend that?
Yes, and I think if you're going to let them sit out for 30 minutes, consider putting a little pinch of a dried herb in there, because the herb will actually flavor the egg. And that will help as well, because that gives it a little bit more flavor when it's being heated, then the flavor of the herb will come out. So if you have some dried herb, a pinch of basil perhaps, or a pinch of oregano, that might help a lot to give a little bit of a dimension to that egg, which some people find quite flat without the salt. And you don't really need the salt, you just need another flavor angle, and that might be something you could do. You could also put green onion. You could also put a small amount of fresh parsley. I think whatever you do to make it look more than just one color, that adds an additional excitement to it.
It does. You know, we eat with our eyes.
We do eat with our eyes.
Also, I've become a fan of poached eggs lately. I mean, I love them on English muffin. And I've found a great poached egg pan from Amazon. It's like $30 and you can't mess it up. It's like foolproof. And I can make four at a time. So I can make me two poached eggs and my husband two poached eggs. So if you're having any problems, because, you know, I put them in the water with the vinegar and they kind of break. But when you use this pan that's like a miracle worker, they turn out perfectly. There's a gadget for everything, isn't there?
There is. The other thing sometimes we've done is you actually crack an egg in a mug, mm-hmm. and then make sure that it's scrambled in the mug, and then put a paper towel over it. And if you microwave it at 50% for about a minute and then check on it, that's a quick, easy way to have eggs in a mug. And that you only aren't really only dirtying one item, which is your mug and maybe the fork that you're going to eventually eat it in as well. So if you're really in a hurry, that's a quick way to have a breakfast. You just want to be sure you cover it with the paper towel so it doesn't explode.
Get all over the microwave. Let's move on to lunch.
Okay. So I like to think if I'm going to do something at lunch and then at dinner, that maybe it either has a connection, like with a theme, like maybe Italian or maybe French if we're at a spa, or maybe it has something unique with it. I would like to think lunch that you might make yourself a protein bowl. So if we have a bowl and then we're going to divide it into four places or three different segments, one would be a protein of some kind, one might be a starch of some kind, and the other one might be a vegetable of some kind. I think bowls are kind of interesting now, and they look very pretty, and they also provide you an opportunity to select three different items that might be of interest to you or even add more. But it gives you something more interesting than, say, a sandwich would be or something that you might have to spend a lot of time preparing if you're busy on a Saturday. But, of course, this is a personal chef, so we want to make sure that it looks absolutely amazing. You might have protein at home already made, or if you're going to have chicken like we're going to have on Sunday, if you have a chance to actually make a whole chicken and then put that actually in your freezer. And then you can take it out in the morning at breakfast and put it in your refrigerator, and by lunch it'll be ready for you to just microwave briefly to heat up, or it might actually just be at room temperature or in the refrigerator temperature, so you have a little bit of difference in temperature as well. I don't know about you, but if I make rice, I also make extra and put it in my freezer. Noodles don't do as well. So if you're going to do something that had a starch in it, that was a grain of some kind or noodles, you might have to develop some extra time to do that.
So when
I also have used protein in terms of meatballs, if you have meatballs in your freezer as well. So maybe Saturday would be a thinking ahead if you were doing it at home. But if the chef was there, then I would make you absolutely freshly prepared, maybe pieces of chicken with a small amount of flavoring on them. How does that sound for you, or what might you enjoy in a protein bowl?
Well, I love lemon and lemon pepper. So I think I would probably want some lemon pepper chicken, some rice with that. And I didn't know you could freeze rice. I mean, I guess I buy the frozen rice from Trader Joe's, you know, it's frozen. Mm-hmm. You stick it in the microwave. I guess that's the same thing. It's just a little bit more expensive.
And the other thing I like to do is I like to actually make a dressing, but I take equal amounts of parsley, lemon juice, and oil, and I'll whirl it in the blender or beat it in there. And maybe even a little garlic if that's your thing. And then that is kind of a emulsified dressing that you can put over things that has the parsley dimension to it, the lemon dimension, and then, of course, has the oil, which makes it stick on there. So it's a more interesting dressing. Like you said, if you're making lemon chicken, then that's what I add the additional amount that you would put in there as well.
And I
use also cranberry sauce out of a can in the center of my protein bowls, because then you can kind of swoosh that around to different things, or you can add some other items to it that might make it more interesting in terms of crunch.
I love snap peas, like the little peas. Are those a good renal-friendly choice?
Yes, snap peas are good, and that you don't need that many even. You know what I mean? You're looking for something, and be sure that you put them in the bowl so they look pretty. I think it's important that you plan. So it looks good when you sit down, you feel a sense of accomplishment, as opposed to just throwing things in it or looking back into your refrigerator if you didn't have enough the first time. But snap peas are good, and celery is another one that adds a lot of crunch to it. Raw fennel, even raw zucchini, as we're getting into the zucchini season, are the types of things you can add to a salad to add crunch.
And for me, I know if you put a little bit of red pepper, like just cut a little, red pepper's gotten expensive lately, but just to take a slice, I mean, it makes it look so pretty with just that little bit of red sprinkles on the top. It makes it so appetizing.
I think presentation is really important, planning and presentation, so that you don't feel stressed that you're missed out of an ingredient you don't have or were thinking you had. And then the way that it looks when you sit down, you feel a sense of this is something I really want to eat, as opposed to something I have to eat, or it's what's left over for me to eat, and it's not my first choice. Well, we like to think a little more positive.
Well, and I have another gadget that I think I want to bring up. It's an Instapot. And I love the Instapot because I can put frozen chicken tenderloins, and I know you could put fresh in as well because the frozen ones have a little bit more sodium in them. But I'm not restricted with my transplants, so but if you are, you have to be careful. And you just put a little water and you push poultry, and the chicken comes out perfectly. And you can shred it. You can do different things with it. It's just an incredible invention.
It's amazing. These things that have been around that all of a sudden come back into our world, and we learn to use them. And I think, like you said, you buy an appliance, and if you can learn to use all the pieces of it, you feel like it's really worth leaving on your counter or using regularly.
Exactly, because I'm going to mention another appliance later, but I want to hear what you're making for dinner. Or actually, let's do a snack. What would you make for a snack in the afternoon?
So I'm a big snack person of being prepared to have a snack. One of the things that we've used so much with my patients and people with kidney disease is to pre-plan a snack that's frozen. So we take a loaf of bread, and then on the top, we'll divide it into two rows. On the top row, we put a whole jar of peanut butter. And on the bottom one, we put either, usually just some kind of jelly. We fold them in half, cut them in half, and we put them in the freezer. And this is an easy snack. It's already made for you. If it's frozen, it has crunch in it. If you leave a little bit of time, it will actually be softer. Everyone in your family can have it. And you'd be surprised how fast it goes. Even if you have one a day, it still is a good source of protein, but not a high source of the other things that we're worried about in patients or people that have kidney disease. And it's good for transplant. It's good for pre-ESRD, and it's good for patients that are watching some of their other nutrients. So this is a very much a favorite of mine.
So
and because it's already in the refrigerator freezer, you don't have to think too much about it.
So is it basically you take like a piece of bread and cut it in fours, like make a little sandwich and cut it in like quarters?
You could actually make an individual sandwich, or you could take a whole loaf of bread and make a whole bunch of sandwiches and then put them in the freezer and be able to take them out when you needed them.
I'm going to try that because I have a parrot that loves peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I didn't know you could like put them in the freezer and just bring it out. And I like the idea of crunchiness because is that from regular bread just by getting frozen, right? You don't have to toast it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh, okay. That's a good...
And these are often things you find in your food pantry too if you're running out of resources, or something that's very easy to find, you know, all over. It seems to be a uniform kind of an American snack, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
It is. Well, when I was younger, I used to make grilled peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So
there you go. See, you. And I'm sure people have all kinds of options. You could put basil in there. You know what I mean? You could put other types of, I have people that sprinkle cinnamon on it. You know, you can add all kinds of flavor dimensions on it to give it your own little signature twist.
A little bit of honey.
Yep.
A little bit of honey. So what about dinner?
So dinner, I was thinking something more in the interest of maybe wrapping something. I think wrapping is kind of a big thing. They have lots of different wraps now of different flavors and different sizes, and you can get them just about anywhere. So I would look to actually wrap something that would give it a more of a dimension. If you had the availability of some fish that was reasonably priced, that might be something you might want to think about. But any kind of ground meat is an easy thing to have available as well. So I would think that you'd want to do that. And then in our wraps, I think the most important thing to remember is a little bit of everything, not a whole bunch of one particular thing. So if you were going to have a wrap, you could put some green onion in it. You could put maybe two cherry tomatoes. You could put a little bit of cheese. You wouldn't have to put a lot of any one item. The key would be a whole parade of little items that would be of interest to you.
And one of the things that I always like is, you know, you get the frozen shrimp and it's already cooked and you can take it out. And I just heat it up a little bit just so it's not cold, and you can chop it up and put it in a wrap.
Yeah, and maybe put one shrimp on top to make it even look better, you know, just to have a little zing to the top so it has like a little hat on it. It has some presentation to
exactly
it. Even if
little...
you don't know what's in the wrap, it gives you a clue what's outside of it.
Exactly, with a little toothpick, with a little of the confetti at the top.
There you go.
It is. When my one friend, when I go over and visit her, she always loves to provide food. And it always looks so pretty when she comes out, you know, like it's probably just leftovers. I'm sure it is, but it looks beautiful. There's this new meal prepared for me, and it could have like a little dollop of dip and shit. You know, it's so appetizing. You feel like you're having a real treat.
Yes.
So a wrap is a good idea, and we're going to have some dessert. What would you suggest?
So I'm a big proponent of homemade slice and bake cookies. I think it's wonderful to have hot cookies coming out of the oven. And if you keep them in your freezer, you can just slice them whenever you need them. And the one I was recommending has both flour, butter, and sugar in it, which is the basic component of cookies. Some have eggs in them, some do not. And I would make you a French icebox cookie. And so you'd have three or four of them on a plate and maybe a small piece of fruit. But that would give you something warm and interesting to smell while you were winding down your evening's meals for the day.
And have a cup of hot tea with it a little bit of it. I want to know how big your freezer is.
Well, I have to remember that I make one recipe, and most recipes are 4 to 8 servings. So you would put them either in individual bags, or I have these disposable containers that I just keep recycling so that I'm, you know, not getting a lot of garbage out of them. Or you can put Ziploc bags, and if you wrap your item in either wax paper or something or saran wrap, you can just keep using those bags again. So they're flat, and I can use them pretty often. But I know what you're saying. Some people don't have a lot of freezer space.
Well, and the idea of icebox cookies in summer just sounds the most refreshing to me. I want some icebox cookies.
Yeah, well, I'll be sure that I share that recipe to the website.
That's perfect. We'll definitely share that. So let's move on to Sunday or any other day, I guess, but we're going to take the weekend theme. Let's start with breakfast.
Okay, so for breakfast, I think it would be great to have cereal, but often people think of cereal just in a bowl as being kind of dull. So I might consider using the dry cereal with some honey, perhaps, and maybe making actual something more crunchy or something that I actually let the cereal sit overnight. In Europe, they call it musel, M-U-S-E-L-I, which is basically cereal that is steeped in milk overnight. And basically in the morning, it becomes kind of a cold oatmeal. This is kind of something interesting in the summer if you're tired of dry cereal, would be to have some kind of cold cereal. If you go into the stores, they often have those overnight oats you can buy, but they usually have a lot of sodium in them. So think about using your own oatmeal or own dry cereal and then just letting them sit overnight, or even an hour before when you first get up, pour some milk on them, put them back in the refrigerator, and then you find they're kind of interesting. Some people don't like the texture, but I really do.
And the best thing for breakfast is you have to have a few blueberries. And I
there
have a bag of frozen blueberries, and
yes,
you could just take a few out. And I might put them in the microwave for a couple of minutes, and they get like a little bit better, like 15 seconds. And then it's almost like a pretty, pretty type of blueberry puree that can go on the cereal.
And then drizzle some maple syrup on them, maybe, instead of just, you know, agave or honey. Something that makes it even interesting. Some people use other kinds of milk, like an oat milk, almond milk, coconut milk, over it to give it a little more flavor as well, since a lot of things are going towards plant-based.
And rice milk is popular because it's low in phosphorus, right?
Right.
I know it's I remember when I was on dialysis before a lot of the different milks they have in the olden days, Mocha Mix was the only option other than milk. And I'm so glad we have all these plant-based options now, like rice milk. And what's so great is rice milk can stay in the pantry for, you know, it's not like traditional milk where, you know, you got to drink it within a week to 10 days or it's bad. So,
right.
It's a little bit better. So let's move on. So we'll have some kind of cereal. What about lunch?
So lunch, you know, to me, Sunday lunch is something that should be roasted in the oven that we can smell. So that would be the day that I would do either chicken pieces on a sheet pan with maybe some dried cranberries on them and some other vegetables and just bake that in the oven for maybe a half an hour to 45 minutes. Chicken thighs are good because they don't actually dry out, whereas a chicken breast might more likely dry out. Or it sounds like your hot pot sounds good too, if you'd actually be putting your Instant Pot, putting your chicken in there if you wanted to. But I like the smell of a roasted chicken. I think it makes you think about lunch, and you're thinking about it with your eyes and with all your nose and your senses. So when you actually get it, it really has a very positive thing with you. And I would serve it probably with noodles. I'm a big noodle person that I would use to have that, and maybe some green beans or something else I might have in my freezer, or as the season comes, some fresh vegetables that might be available from my garden.
Well, one of the things that I love doing is, and I love sweet potatoes. I cube them a little bit and I put them with other vegetables in a Ziploc bag and put a little olive oil and cooking sherry. I think cooking sherry is like the secret to everything. And a little bit of seasoning like Mrs. Dash, and stick it in the fridge. And it's something miraculous that happens when you go to roast those vegetables. as opposed to if I just did it right beforehand, to put them on the pan, I think they had a little bit of time to absorb a little bit of the oil, and it's great just to cook with the meat.
Yes, and I think that if you can put some lemon inside the chicken too, you know, when it's cooking, or some onion, or however you're going to do it, even if you like marinate the chicken, like you said before, the same with the vegetables. It does make a difference in the flavor. It goes into the meat and into the vegetables better.
I've always been afraid to cook salmon. I don't know why. It is the easiest thing on the planet to cook. I don't know what was my block of thinking that salmon was beyond my culinary repertoire. But, you know, that's you could do the same thing with the salmon and the vegetables, which is always delicious. And
you can always wrap it in foil, too, and cook it like in a parchment would be paper, but we would cook it in foil, and then makes cleanup easy, too.
Exactly. It's all about the cleanup, isn't it? And
it is.
Moving on to another snack, I have another gadget that, an air fryer.
Okay.
And they're becoming very popular. I love to put pot stickers, and I'm not sure of the sodium level. They're a little bit higher, but just to have a couple pop stickers, I can't say it. It's amazing. The air fryer is becoming another gadget that many people can't live without. Have you tried one?
I have tried one, and I'm still getting the hang of it. It's like driving, isn't it? You get your confidence up as you use it a little bit more and try it with different things.
My one friend actually put tofu in the air fryer, marinated tofu. And I thought that was interesting. It'll be great if more recipes come out, and how to, of course, if you're not limited on potassium, it's a great way to have a little sample of French fries. Or if you take your French fries and cut them and let them soak to get some of the potassium out, it makes great French fries in the air fryer, and you don't get the additional calories.
And you don't have to make very many, which is great,
exactly,
too. So you don't feel like you're heating up a whole pot of oil for only just a few fries, or whatever you choose to do, or a big oven. Yeah.
And I put some cauliflower in there, too. It's pretty tasty. So that's kind of my snack if I want to be fancy and prepare a snack for somebody else. I think for myself, I would probably go to grabbing the peanut butter and jelly sandwich out of the freezer. That is really up my alley. So what about dinner on a Sunday
evening? For dinner, I was thinking of a quiche, because that would be something different you might not have. You can get small dishes and make individual quiche, or if you have a family with you, you can use a pie plate. You don't have to do a crust necessarily, or you can put some crackers on the bottom and then put the eggs on top. And if you want to really be creative and you have some of that extra rice or extra noodles in your refrigerator, you can mix that with the eggs along with some herbs and then put a little sprinkling of Parmesan on top, and you have a very interesting dinner that would be different than what you might have as a sandwich or something as well. And the eggs are high biological value, which means that the protein that you use is really easy for your body to use. And I think that's important in all of us to have some good sources of protein each day to repair our body.
Well, and do you cook the quiche in little muffin pans? Have you ever done that?
Absolutely. And that makes it real easy cleanup as well. You can put one cracker on the bottom and then the egg mixture on top, a little bit of parsley, and it's a lot easier and faster to cook. You can do this with meatloaf and lots of other things as well. And I think that that's an easier way to do it. And then it's already portion controlled. It even looks cute on a plate too. You have this little quiche, which is like a muffin, and maybe have a little side dish of maybe a small amount of homemade fruit soup with it or some cranberry sauce, something that makes it look really interesting. What we often do is baby food has absolutely no sodium in it. So if you can get a little jar of pears, for instance, and mix it with an equal amount of rice milk, and then you can serve that as a cold soup, a cold pear soup with this, with a little tiny garnish on it. And so you have this cute little quiche, and then you have some pear soup, and you feel like you really do have a special meal.
Do have a and then put a little tiny green salad if you have that next to it, because green salad on anything looks beautiful. I mean,
it does absolutely.
And but it has to be cut the right way.
I know. You have to get a knife and really spend some time learning how to do some of these things so they look really effective. We should do a YouTube, or everyone should watch a YouTube video on slicing things with knives safely.
Right. That sounds delicious. I'm going to have to try that. You know, maybe we could just touch base on, we're having dessert. We can't forget dessert.
Oh, no, we can't forget dessert. So this is Sunday. So to me, Sunday means something really kind of special. Since we're cooking the quiche, we should be able to cook something simultaneously in the oven at the same time. So it would be an individual little, maybe a blonde brownie or something that you could mix in a mug or in a small container, so you'd have a warm cookie kind of cake thing when you were done.
Well, and then, you know, what are some of the staples that you think, you know, most people with kidney disease should have in their pantry? And
well, I
maybe
think everyone
some spices.
Should have small amounts of flour, sugar, and some kind of butter or corn oil margarine or whatever they choose to use. I think everyone should have eggs, and everyone should have that loaf of bread, jar of peanut butter and jelly to have that as well. And I also think it's good to have like lemon, parsley, and some basic oils and salad ingredients, because they're really versatile and you can make a lot of sauces with lemon, parsley, oil, and garlic.
I know it's, and I just can't highly recommend to figure out which Mrs. Dash spice you like. There are so many of them. I mean, as I mentioned, I love the lemon pepper, but they have some really interesting flavors that are low sodium, and you just sprinkle that on anything and you have a good taste.
And if you put it in oil ahead of time or in the mixture ahead of time, it also infuses it. Think about the infusing, but you're absolutely right. All of those are really great additions to your family of spices and flavoring.
I know. And we live in California, so a lot of people have herb gardens. And I think due to COVID, a lot of people have invested the time to create an herb garden, which is, it's amazing how easy it is to grow something. I mean, if you just put a little energy, you can have like an onion, a green onion growing on your counter. It's all kinds of fun stuff that I've seen people have done over the past year since we've had more time at home.
I think so too.
And I love the ideas that you gave earlier about adding a little sweetness to it from, you had mentioned syrup or agave. Any other tips that
keep a sprinkler of cinnamon and sugar around? But I add some more. Chinese five spice is an interesting spice because it has several things in it, anise, cardamom, cinnamon and mix that with a little sugar, even just use that as a sprinkling. I put that on my sweet potatoes, kind of gives it a different flavor. So maybe when you're out to think about trying a new spice each week or so, that you can maybe not buy in a large container, but maybe if there's a bulk spice area where you can try a tablespoon before you commit to it.
Well, and what's really interesting is that on Facebook, there's these groups now. I belong to one in my area called Buy Nothing. And I see people asking for spices. Like, does anybody have a small sample of this spice? And it's like a neighborhood thing. I don't want to buy the whole amount. I want to see if I like it. And then there's like 10 responses. Yeah, I'll give you some. And it's a great resource because people want to be helpful to others, and that might be an option to try some spices that other people have. I mean, it's your neighbor. It could be some risk, but I think it's very minimal. Yes. But it's a fun way to without having to buy the whole amount. So,
yes.
And then if you buy something and don't like it, people like offer it up on Buy Nothing and give it to somebody else. So it's a great thing. Well, this was absolutely wonderful, Judy. I really appreciate all your knowledge. We're going to definitely get some of this information linked to this podcast so that you can take it to the grocery store or to Instacart.
Sounds great. I'll work on that right away. And it was great to talk to you again, Lori.
Thank you, Judy.
Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network. Please make sure to find us on Facebook or sign up for our newsletter at rsnhope.org. Kidney Talk is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment from your physician. Always seek the advice of your own healthcare provider regarding your medical condition.